Hot 103 Jams, Kansas City's number one for music, money, and more. It's the Kid Joe Cornejo on the Playmaker Show. And like always, we like to bring local celebrities and stars out from the community to the show to have them talk about what they got going on. And with me today in the studio is State Representative Brandon Ellington. How you doing today, sir?
Man, I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm feeling great, sir. It's great to have you on the show. Thank you for coming by.
I had to. Yeah, invited me. I had to.
So now you are here today because tomorrow you have a great event going down. Something Kansas City needs, especially right now in the summertime when it gets hot because things get a little crazy in the city. And why don't you tell the people what you got going on tomorrow?
All right. Well, the Enough is Enough Violence and Prevention Awareness Symposium is what we have going on. And that's from 4 to 7 p.m. at Brush Creek Community Center. Now, this is not going to be the only event when we talk about engaging around violence prevention and awareness. But it's a necessity that we actually start taking ownership of what is happening in our community and stop making excuses about why it's happening and actually start addressing it. So we're going to do a series of the actually violence prevention. And as we talk, I'm going to go through a list of some of the events that we have going on right now that's actually targeted towards working on our social contract. Because this is part of the reason, if not the entirety of the underlying reason, why we have the amount of murders that we have in the inner city committed by ourselves because of our social contract.
Now, you mentioned social contract. For people who aren't familiar with that term or what that means, can you break that down to them real quick?
Yeah, now I'm actually glad you asked me that. So in society, we have a contract, right? As citizens, we have a contract regardless of how people feel they came about as citizenship in America. As civilians, we have a contract. So when we engage with ourselves, we're engaging with contracts. To give you an example, with the city, you have a contract. When you spend sales tax dollars, those sales tax dollars are associated and they go to the city. The city utilizes and the state utilizes your tax dollars to provide services. If you're not receiving those services, your contract is being broken. Education is a contract. Your tax dollars go to provide public education. If you're not receiving quality education, that's a break in the contract. When we talk about community engagement, culturalistic understanding, and how we engage with ourselves, this is a contract. I'll give you an example real quick before you ask me a question. The first thing that most people say in the inner city when we get mad is, I'm going to kill an N or whatever. Well, that's a contract. When we're not talking about somebody that's associated with that word. So when we talk about working on the social contract, we're talking about changing the way that we internalize and the way that we engage with ourselves, the way that we view institutions and what we should be receiving from these institutions. But it goes two ways. If I'm not demanding what the ask from me is, then I would never receive it. Power gives nothing from power. That's a contract. So when we look at the conditioning and the conditions of the inner city, we're looking at broken contracts from education, from community investment, from infrastructure repairs. A lot of the social elements go to the culturalistic understanding, meaning if I don't have identified and a universal understanding of my culture, anybody can indoctrinate me with the images that they want to identify myself with. But now I'm talking about mass media. So in the inner city, we talk a lot about the way that Black folks is portrayed in media, but we have to control the way we portrayed in media. If we don't, we're not upholding our contract when it comes to how we want to be represented as opposed to being labeled. You dig what I'm saying? Yeah. So again, and I'll go through some of the events which will kind of clarify, because then you will start to see some of the compartmentalizing activities that would address a social contract, because the only way humans learn is observation and participation. So as a conscious Black man, I know my contract with my culture is to make sure that I'm doing as much as I can to break the cycle of ignorance and miseducation that leads us to confusion. And that's a lot that we have when we look at the lack thereof in the inner city. It's not that the source resources aren't there, it's confusion and non-clarity on how to obtain it. And a lot of this comes to understanding the contract of America. This is a capitalist society. So in capitalism, somebody has to be doing better than somebody else.
Exactly.
If it was socialist, everybody gets the same thing, right?
Yeah.
So in capitalism, what the so-called minority has to understand is ownership is critical. If you don't own, then you're subject to the whoever's in charge. So when we talk about education, the first thing that you will hear from so-called minorities, they don't teach us our history in school. No, they're not, because we have to control our own educational institutions if you want to have a quality curriculum. The same we talk about employment, where they won't hire us. We have to be our own economic drivers. Now we're looking at understanding state resources, federal resources, and how to utilize these to effectively start up our own infrastructures the same way other communities do. You dig what I'm saying? That's part of our contract.
Yeah. And so you said you was a breakdown events. You got to help further explain this?
Okay. July the 29th is Enough Enough Violence and Awareness Prevention Symposium. August the 17th is the Pause for Peace. Now we're utilizing the artistic medium to actually influence and educate, and that's why we're doing the Pause for Peace, because when we listen to music and we listen to vibrations and things of this nature, we're subconsciously teaching folks. So we want to make sure that we're engaging with our artistic community to ensure that we're subconsciously engaging folks with conscious content and conscious material. So when we look, going back to the statement when I said the first person I'm to kill is the end, but when we listen to music, we're getting subconsciously programmed that our lives are non-value. So when we look at the amount of murders that we have in the inner city, we don't value ourselves. It's a reason why you don't see the amount of murders in other areas to the proliferation that we have in the inner city. And what I mean by this is we're in a celebratorial phase of our murders. We celebrate them. We celebrate them in song. We celebrate them in TV. We celebrate them in all entertainment mediums. So when it happens in reality, we believe that it's normal. But it's not normal to see your friend shot at 18. It's not normal to have a little kid murdered because their mother or their father was engaged in whatever. It's not normal not to be able to come outside and walk down the street. It's not normal for little kids to understand the differences in gunshots. Oh, that was a chop. That was a handgun.
Yeah.
Dude, you 7. This is not normal. This is insanity. It's not normal when we see ourselves and we immediately get into predatorial mode, meaning I have to, you know,
size you up.
Yeah. That's not normal. You don't see that in other communities, nor do we overtly act like that outside of our community, which means we've been conditioned and pre-programmed to believe that we're secondary, and it's easy to lash out at somebody that looks like you when you don't value them. If we valued ourselves more, then it would be harder to commit murder. It'd be harder to see us in suffrage and not have empathy towards ourselves, the way that we see other cultures have empathy towards folks that identify like them, and we wonder why they don't do it for us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it starts at home. So another one of the events that is following that is the 8th annual Unity in the Community. And the Unity in the Community is a free venue. We ask everybody to come, set up tables, etc. And it's exactly what it is. It's unity in the community. We have to start collaborating and cross-communicating with each other in non-orchestrated venues to get full understanding of each other. The next event is September the 28th, and that's a job fair targeting ex-felons. So in the inner city, we talk about the lack there of available jobs. But we have elected officials that have access to companies, corporations that have policies that are conductive to hiring folks with felonies.
Yeah.
So why aren't we emphasizing that we need to have more job fairs, etc.? That goes back to our contract of understanding what our elected officials should be doing. As a state rep, I'm in Jeff City half the year. But I understand it's a necessity, so I'm working with the Department of Corrections, State Department, working with Probation and Parole, State Department, working with FEC, Hybrid, City, State, Feds, I believe, and in Kansas City Police Department to identify companies, good-paying companies that actually hire folks with felonies. Now we're filling that void, so it is no excuse we can't get a job. We're putting in the work of self-determination to ensure we're bringing the companies here as opposed to wondering why the companies can't find us. And then the last event that we have on this page is October the 21st, which is Domestic Violence Awareness and Healthcare Fair. Now we're talking about some of the criminal aspects that happened in the inner city. We're talking about some of the social elements when we talk about domestic violence and how we engage with our spouses, our children, and how we either teach them violence or not teach them violence. And the same with self-esteem, etc.
Yeah. So this is pretty exciting because all the events you have are like gradually working towards having to fix this broken social contract,
yes,
like you explained.
Yes. No, all of them are. And then we have events going from each quarter. So these are just events that I have in this quarter. Then we have some going from October to January, and then from January on 4th. And the reason, and it's an open coalition. So I ask people to engage with me Wednesdays at 12 p.m. at 3836 Chestnut. I'm guaranteed to be there while I'm not in session. And then we will modify the date during session. But it is no more excuses. Like, we sit here and we leverage reasonings for oppression. Well, it was a Willie Lynch letter. Well, if it was a Willie Lynch letter and you wrote a letter that stated how you can keep me contained, a conscious man would be like, dude, I'm going to take that same letter and I'm going to reverse engineer it. If this is an accurate source document of how you oppress somebody. We talk about this country isn't meant for us. Cool. If it isn't meant for us, then you got two choices. I can sit here and I can say that my man's going to keep smacking me, or I can duck. An intelligent person is going to duck and understand that Joe keeps hitting me with the left. I'm ducking on the raw right. You dig what I'm saying? So if the country isn't meant for us, then why aren't we learning the policies and changing the laws to benefit us? Because now we're talking about policies and procedures. It is no longer you don't like me because I'm black. It doesn't matter. Policy one and one is two. So when we talk about law enforcement and the contract that we would like to have with law enforcement, we can protest and we can complain, or we can fundamentally change the law and the rules of engagement. Give you an example. In the inner city, we talk about law enforcement officers don't resemble the communities that they police. This is true, and this is a problem. And it's also a problem that we haven't demanded that the police board and the mayor that sits on the police board changes the police policy of as far as the ordinance, as far as where they can reside. And the same at the state, because we can double that down and actually codify that in state law, that there's certain rubrics of where you stay, the same rubrics that we have when people are running for office, right? Because you have to live in the same area that you're representing. You can't just live outside of there.
Yeah,
it's a lot that we can do, but we have to be conscious, aggressive, and serious about self-determination and controlling our identity. Because until we actually start controlling our identity, and this is the major part of the contract, and until we start controlling our identity, we're identified by folks that are outside of our area, which gives folks that have very little to any interaction their initial understanding of yourself. So if I don't interact with cats, and the only thing I see is media of you, and the first person I see, I'm going to believe everything that I've seen in that media.
Yep.
So I can say rural areas, and most people would think, oh, a dude's going to be heavy set, sitting on the porch drinking beer with no shoes on. This is the image.
Yeah, this is what we've been programmed to see.
That's not necessarily reality when you go out there. When you go out there, the inner city poverty is worse than our poverty, but their understanding of the perplexities of the reason they're in poverty and the reason we are is funny. So like Republicans vote against their interests, but then they're also told that the reason that they're in poverty in these rural areas is because all of the social services is going to the inner city.
Yeah.
Now we have a perfect system of colonization and captivating contracts with poor folks. So as opposed to poor folks working with each other, you got poor white folks, poor black folks that don't work with each other, that's also put in similar conditions. So I talked about the rural. If you look at Kansas City, you'll see that poor whites and poor blacks are pitted in the same community, and they fight for the same resources, which creates a natural separation. Well, this is part of a contract going back to capitalism.
Right. Somebody's got to do good if somebody else has got to be struggling.
Yes. So if we actually understood the contract of capitalism, racism becomes secondary, right? Because that's a social contract too.
Yeah.
It's not a biological fact. Ethnicity and all of these other things in genetics is biologic. Race is social contract. So if we start to understand the meanings of social contracts and the construct of colonization, then you start getting poor whites, poor Latinos, and poor blacks to work together, because this is how you create ultimate equality and equity and wealth. But suppose we codify ourselves, but that's part of the contract of capitalism.
Yeah.
Keep you on the bottom.
Yeah.
Right? No ownership. So again, what we're doing with the No More Excuses Coalition is not talking about excuses. We're actually addressing issues that we know we have. We know unemployment is an issue. We're going to find companies that hire folks, and then we're going to start working with entities to acquire land, just to give you some operations. So Councilman Mayor Pro Tem Councilman Scott Wagner has came on board. He's actually helping the coalition. This is important because with the councilmen on board, we have access to zoning. Now we're talking about rezoning areas. So in the inner city, you talk about a lack of businesses. Well, let's start rezoning some of these areas and classifying them and designing them for X, Y, and Z, and then coupling them with different resources to ensure that people can start up businesses, capital. Now we can't expect anybody outside of our area to come in and do that, because that's counterproductive to their wealth. But it's also a necessity that we do it ourselves, because if I can't expect you to tie my shoe, I can keep busting my head talking about my shoelaces as long, or I can be like, oh, let me just put a ball on this.
Yeah.
And it's the same when we talk about the lack there of what we have. And this is not negating racism or institutional barriers or anything of that nature. This is saying that if you lock the door on me, I'm going to climb through the window, right? So in the inner city, we have to address our social contract, and we have to start being honest about what's happening. We don't have folks coming through the inner city laying people down that ain't from there. Like, I was part of the streets. I understand that the streets talk and you know what's happening in the streets when you in these streets. Well, this is ignorant if we're murdering ourselves and we're only asking for help when our loved ones are murdered and we wonder why our community isn't changing. We have to put that mandate on it. Like, dude, this is no longer acceptable over here. It's no longer acceptable that you go down to the parks and you sit on there and you smoke wet and you break your glass bottles. I'm not saying that you're morally wrong for smoking. Well, that's a mental problem.
Yeah, that's something you got to deal with.
Yeah, right? And it's a social problem. What I'm saying is you can't do it at the park.
When people are around other people. That's a kid's area, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but we got to put a band-aid. I'm going to give you a couple examples. So I had a dope house that was posted next to my office on 38th and Chestnut. I go up to the dope house, and I'm like, hey, man, you can't sell dope here. Now, I ain't go to them and say, because you are addicted to drugs, you're an evil, bad person. I didn't call the police and say, I hope you rot in jail for 50 years. What I said is, you can't sell dope here. And if you need help, I'm going to do anything I can do to help you. But you can't sell it right here. Because, see, in this neighborhood, the kids are going to be able to play. Because we're actually working on remodifying that block with a transitional living center and a computer lab. But anyway, in doing that, and not saying Oak Park, when I mentioned the people smoking wet, that was another personal story. It was some cats sitting on the porch. They were smoking wet. I went down there. I was like, hey, boy, you can't smoke wet here, man. It is a park. They looked at me and was like, cool. They walked down the hill, right? Mm-hmm. So we had a choice. We could stand there, and they knew what they was doing. So, oh, man, maybe I do need to move. Well, if we start putting that emphasis on people, not demoralizing them for whatever condition that they're in, but creating a code that, dude, it's certain things that we can't do. You can't see the old lady and the old man in front of the store and not open the door for them, man. Just say hi. These are certain, and again, tomorrow we have the event, Enough is Enough Violence Prevention Awareness Symposium. That's 4 p.m. through 7 p.m. at Brush Creek Community Center. And I've been blessed to pretty much get buy-in from almost every entity that we need. So we're going to have people from Truman. We're going to have grassroots organizations there. We're going to pretty much have as much resources that folks that are dealing with violence and murder can actually have. And again, we're going to do a series of these to actually engage the social contract along with various other events. And if people want to get involved, and I'm looking for people that want to get involved, and I don't care what your background is, what your past is, if you're available on Wednesdays, 12 p.m., please meet me at 3836 Chestnut so we can actually work on a social contract together.
And is there anything else you'd like to let people know, Kansas City, outside of the event, or anything you want them to know about?
So much I want them to know about. Now, I just tell people to be conscious and stop buying the lie. Like, we have nobody to blame after the first time somebody plays, you pretty much know what to expect. So let's start being conscious and let's start being aggressive in engaging ourselves and changing our social contract.
And let's fix that social contract, right?
Yes.
That's right. Brandon Ellison, State Representative, sir, thank you for coming by the Playmaker Show, man. Great interview, bro. It was awesome to hear, man.
Nah, anytime, man. Anytime.
Yes, sir. Brandon Ellison, once again, thank you for coming by the Playmaker Show.